Okay, thank you very much. Let me start by thanking the organizers, of course, for the invitation to speak in this very nice meeting. It's very nice to be back in Perimeter. It brings back many nice memories. So the plan of the talk will be to give an overview of a series of results in this various papers that I wrote in the last couple of years or so with various people. And these are about a class of observables in N equal 4 super EM mills, which I think is quite rich and interesting, which is obtained by looking at correlation functions in the presence of Wilson loops. Let me start by giving an outline. So I will start by giving a brief review of the so-called half PPS Wilson loop operator in N equal 4 and its interpretation as a conformal defect. Then I will explain how to compute correlation functions of operator insertions on the defect from the dual ADS side by computing essentially Witten diagrams on the ADS2 worksheet, which is dual to the Wilson loop. And I will discuss how to obtain a series of exact results from localization. And finally, I will also discuss the non-supersymmetric Wilson loop, which, as I will explain, give us an example of some defect RG flow, which in this case will connect this non-supersymmetric operator in the UV to this supersymmetric operator in the IR. And this flow will give us an explicit way to test the F theorem for one-dimensional defects. Okay. So as probably most people in the audience are familiar with, in N equal 4 super EM mills, it's very natural to consider a generalized version of Wilson loop operator, which in addition to the usual coupling to the gauge field, also has a coupling to the six scalars in the vector multiplet. So here, theta I is just some unit six vector, which in principle can depend on the point along the loop. So this operator is specified by a choice of these couplings and the choice of contour at mu, and also a choice of representation in general. For most of the talk, I will focus on the fundamental representation, but we can generalize this to any representation. So one nice thing about this kind of operators is that for special choices of these couplings, one can obtain operators which preserve fractions of the supersymmetries of the theory. So the simplest example of such a supersymmetric Wilson loop operator is, of course, the half EPS one. So this is simply obtained by taking the contour to be a circle or a straight line. If we work in R4, we can map a circle to the straight line by conformal transformation. And theta, just a constant unit six vector. So to be completely explicit, let me take a straight line running along the x0 direction. Well, let me identify x0 with p and take the unit six vector to point it in one direction, say the sixth direction. So we consider this kind of operator. So it couples to one scalar, which I call phi six, and it's defined along an infinite straight line. Okay, it's not difficult to show that this preserves eight Poincaré supercharges and eight superconformal supercharges. So it's half EPS. In a similar way, the circular version of this operator also preserves 16 supercharges, which turn out to be linear combination of Poincaré and superconformal. Okay, so let me recall what are the symmetries preserved by this operator. Not difficult to see what the bosonic symmetries are. So there is an SO3, which are rotations in the directions around the line. There is an SO5, which is the subgroup of the SO6R symmetry, which is left invariant after we pick one scalar. So we are still free to rotate the remaining five scalars. So there is an SO5. And then importantly, there is an SL2R conformal symmetry, one-dimensional conformal symmetry. So this is a one-dimensional subgroup of the four-dimensional conformal symmetry, which is left invariant by picking a line. So these are dilatations, translations along the line, and a special conformal transformation. The fact that this operator preserves such a 1D conformal symmetry, as far as I know, was pointed out first in a paper by Capusta in 2005, and was later used in more detail, explored in more detail in a paper by Drucker and Kawamoto. Okay, so together with the 16 supercharges, these bosonic symmetries combine into a one-dimensional superconformal group, which happens to be OSP 4*/4, which has this bosonic subgroup. Okay, so since this is an extended operator that preserves a one-dimensional conformal subgroup, we can regard it as a conformal defect, or a superconformal defect of the four-dimensional theory. So as in any defect CFT, as we have learned in many talks in this meeting, once we have a conformal defect, there is a rich structure of observables that we can study. We can study correlation functions of operators inserted on the defect, correlation functions of bulk operators in the presence of the defect, or in general, mixed observables. In this talk, I will focus mainly on correlation functions of operators on the defect, but if I have time, I may have some comments about other kind of observables as well. So the correlation functions of insertions on the defect can be defined pretty explicitly in this way. So given some local operators, say OI, inserted at some point T, where these operators are in the adjoint. So this is an n by n matrix. By itself is not gauge invariant, of course. But given such a joint operator, we can consider the following object. We just insert such adjoint matrices on the line or circle and take a trace with a path-ordered exponential, inserting this Wilson line exponent factors between the insertions of the operators. Okay, so I can schematically rewrite this in this way, keeping in mind that the path ordering will put these factors wherever they have to be, depending on the position of these operators. And I will also introduce a shortcut for this kind of observable in this way, in double bracket notation, because as we will see, this kind of objects, due to the one-dimensional conformal symmetry, essentially have the same structure as correlation function in a one-dimensional conformal system, and we can just in some sense forget or keep implicit the fact that there is a Wilson loop and just think about this correlation function as abstract objects. Okay? So this kind of defect correlators arise naturally if one considers small deformations of the Wilson loop, of course. For example, if you consider deformations of the shape, you will insert field strength inside the Wilson loop. And in general, you can consider more general insertions. So in principle, one motivation to look at this is that they encode information on expectation value of deformed Wilson loop operators. In principle, if you know all the correlation functions, all the insertions on the basic half EPS circle, you can reconstruct the expectation value of deformed Wilson loops by integrating these correlation functions. Although that's not what I will do, I will just study this in the language of defect CFT and try to get information about the structure of these correlators defined on the defect. Okay, so as I was mentioning, so this kind of correlation functions are constrained by the one-dimensional conformal symmetry as in a general CFT. So the defect operators can be organized in primaries and descendants. The primaries are labeled by scaling dimension and the representation of SO3 cross SO5. And the correlation functions are constrained in the familiar way by conformal symmetry. So two-point functions of an operator of dimension delta will have this form. Three-point function will have this form. Here I'm assuming the straight line geometry for simplicity. You can write the same results on the circular case by writing the appropriate distance, which will involve some signs. I will come back to that later. And the four-point function, as in higher dimensions, is not completely fixed. It depends on some non-trivial function. But in one dimension, unlike higher dimension, this function is only a function of a single real variable, chi, which is this conformal cross ratio. So you have only one in one dimension because you can use a cell to R to fix three points, and then you have the position of the fourth point as your only freedom. Okay, so one natural question that one could ask is whether there is some kind of effective one-dimensional conformal theory describing just this correlation functions on the defect. So even though I will not use this much in the talk, let me just for completeness also to make contact with some other talk by Kumar on Tuesday. So we don't expect a local one-dimensional conformal Lagrangian describing these correlators, but there is a description in terms of one-dimensional fermions or bosons, which was actually worked out here by Jome and Passerini in 2006. So this just schematically goes as follows. You can show that the insertion of a trace of the path order exponential, say in some general rank A anti-symmetric representation of the gauge group, can be obtained by introducing some auxiliary n auxiliary fermions on the line or circle, and an auxiliary one-dimensional gauge field, and doing this one-dimensional path integral with this action. So these are n fermions. They are coupled to this one-dimensional gauge field, and they are coupled to the bulk four-dimensional fields, A and phi, which appears here. And there is a one-dimensional Chern-Simons term, or if you want, you can think of this as an insertion of a Wilson line in this one-dimensional path integral, with some integer here, which is related to the size of this representation. Okay. Similarly, if you consider bosons instead of fermions, you will get insertion of trace in this totally symmetric representation. And more generally, you can describe general representations by introducing extra UM indices on these fermions or bosons. Okay, so in this language, the defect local operators can be described just by considering this kind of gauge invariant objects where you contract the n by n adjoint matrix with the fermions on the left and right, and then you just insert this in your path integral and do the path integral over four-dimensional and one-dimensional fields with this defect CFT action. So this kind of description is more similar to how we usually describe a defect CFT. There is an action for four-dimensional fields, and there is an action for some fields localized on the defect. But if we integrate out this auxiliary one-dimensional fields, we will, of course, get back to this kind of definition. It will produce insertion of the operators inside the Wilson loop. Okay? But this kind of description may be more useful if one studies general representations, because it gives a more systematic way to classify the kind of insertions that you can add. But I will not go into that in this talk. I just wanted to remind about this nice description that one can use. Okay, so of course there are many kind of operators that one has in this defect CFT. So it's useful to first start with simplest kind of operators, some kind of protected operators, and the simplest kind, most special type of multiplets that you have in this defect CFT is the so-called superdisplacement operator. So this it forms some short multiplet of the one-dimensional superconformal symmetry, and which contains 8 bosonic and 8 fermionic insertions. The 8 bosonic insertions are easy to write down. They are just the 5 scalars that don't couple to the Wilson loop. So they are in the fundamental of the SO5 symmetry. So these are the scalars. Again, you should think of this as inserted inside the Wilson loop trace. By itself, it's not a gauge invariant object, but that's always implicit in what I'm saying. And this has protected dimension delta equal to 1. And then there is the displacement operator, which is just this combination of the field strength and the derivative of the scalar. Displacement operator is just what you get if you consider small deformation of the defect in the orthogonal direction. So in the case of Wilson loop, the displacement operator, for just the ordinary Wilson loop, will just be, of course, the field strength. That's what you get if you deform the Wilson loop, you insert the field strength. For this kind of RPPS Wilson loop, you also have a term which involves the scalar. And these have protected dimension delta equal to 2, okay? So this is the displacement operator. This actually is a universal operator that appears in any defect CFT, and the fact that its dimension is protected doesn't have to do with supersymmetry. It just has to do with conformal symmetry. But in this supersymmetric defect CFT, it happens that this belongs to a short multiplet where the superconformal primary is the scalar, okay, which is also protected. So because these are protected, they have scaling dimension is fixed, and the two-point functions are just fixed up to some function of couplings, which are observable because these operators are protected, and so the normalization is meaningful. It's not scheme dependent. And so these are functions of lambda, which are related to each other because these operators are in the same multiplet, and they are related to the so-called Bremsstrahlung function that was defined by Correa, Maldacena, and Sever, B of lambda, which is this, can be obtained from localization as this ratio of Bessel functions. I will briefly review how one way to get this from localization later. Okay, so the two-point functions are fully fixed. Three-point functions of this kind of operators are zero because you cannot write down anything consistent with the symmetries. The four-point functions are non-trivial, and those are the ones that in a moment I will explain how to compute at strong coupling. Okay? Before doing that, let me just say that in addition to these protected operators, there are more general families of protected operators, which are the analog of chiral primaries in the usual single trace sector. So these operators are just symmetric traceless products of these five scalars. So you just take the product of, say, J of the scalars in just symmetric traceless of S of 5, and these also belong to short multiplets, and they have protected dimension delta equal to J. Okay, and later in the talk, I will show how to obtain exact results for the correlation functions of this kind of operators. Okay, all right. So in general, all correlation functions of this kind of defect operators are interesting and non-trivial objects. They are functions of position and coupling constant. One can, of course, compute it with coupling by perturbation theory. This was done recently in two papers up to one loop. What I want to review now is how to compute them at strong coupling. So it turns out you can guess that because there is a one-dimensional conformal symmetry, these correlation functions on this one-dimensional line or circle should be, you know, described by some kind of ADS2 calculation. This guess is, of course, correct. And the ADS2 is just basically the string worksheet, which is dual to this Wilson loop. Okay, so let me just briefly this, again, is probably familiar to everybody in the audience. So in the ADS-CFT dictionary, Wilson loop operators are dual to minimal surfaces. So these are minimal string worksheets, which end on the curve which specifies the loop at the boundary. So what you are supposed to do in general is compute the partition function of the string with the boundary conditions that the coordinates describe this loop at the boundary, and in the ADS directions, and in the sphere direction, they will describe the scalar couplings in the Wilson loop operator. And of course, to leading order at strong coupling, this gives the familiar well-known result that the leading strong coupling approximation to the Wilson loop is just given by the exponential of the classical action of the string, which is the regularized area. Okay, but this is more general. One can, you know, compute quantum corrections and so on. So now, just focusing on the bosonic part of this story, because I will not, I will just discuss three-level correlators. So I will not care about the fermions, and using the Nambu-Goto form of the action, which will be more convenient for me. We can write down explicitly the Nambu-Goto action in ADS 5 plus S 5 in this way, where I'm just using the Poincaré metric for the ADS 5. So Z is the holographic direction, XR are the four coordinates of the boundary, which I'll split as 0 and I will put the Wilson line on 0, and I will be the transverse direction. And this is just a particular way of writing the metric of the 5 sphere in conformally flat coordinates. Okay. So A goes from 1 to 5. So these are five coordinates on the 5 sphere. Okay, in these coordinates, it's very easy to write down what is the minimal surface ending on a straight line at the boundary. It's literally, so if you call S and T the worksheet coordinates, this T2 sigma, this is literally just Z equal S, X0 equal T, and all the other coordinates are 0. So it means that, you know, it sits at some point on the 5 sphere. And on the ADS, it occupies some ADS2 subspace of ADS5 in Poincaré coordinate. So it's literally just ADS2 half plane in Poincaré coordinates embedded inside ADS5. Similarly, if we had a circular case, we would get ADS2 in the hyperbolic disk coordinates. So it will be this metric, and the worksheet would look like a hemisphere. Okay. Okay, so to summarize, the minimal surface dual to the HVPS Wilson loop is an ADS2 embedded inside ADS5. Depending on whether it's straight or circle, it's either of these two coordinate systems. So it preserves the same, one can show that it preserves the same superconformal symmetry as the dual Wilson loop. SL2R, of course, is just realized as the isometry of ADS2. And the SO3 cross SO5 are just the rotations in this transverse directions to the warship. Okay? So if we want to study defect correlators, you can imagine that what we need to do is just study the fluctuations of this string warship, because fluctuations will be dual to deformations of the loop at the boundary, and we know that those deformations are related to insertions of defect operators. So we can look at the expansion of the string action around these classical solutions. A convenient way to do this is to use static gauge, where x0 and z, which are the coordinates where the surface is extended, don't fluctuate, and then we just have the 8 transverse bosonic fluctuations given by xi, the 3 coordinates inside ADS5, which are transverse to ADS2, and the 5 sphere coordinates. So you can start from the Nambu-Goto action and study what is the fluctuation Lagrangian. You find the quadratic part, which tells you what are the masses of these fluctuation fields. And then you can go on and find interactions. There will be interactions with derivatives of this kind and so on. Okay, so from here, you can read off the spectrum. So you can regard now, so this g mu nu here is just the metric of the ADS2 warship. So once you do this expansion starting from the Nambu-Goto action, you expand around this kind of solution, the fluctuation Lagrangian just takes the form effectively of some scalar field theory in ADS2, where this metric is the metric of the warship. Okay, so we have a set of scalar fields propagating in ADS2. We can read off their masses. So you can see that the sphere coordinates are massless and the ADS coordinates have mass too. And then we can just use the usual ADS CFT intuition. These are fields in ADS2, so they should correspond to some operators at the boundary of ADS2, and the dimension should be fixed by the mass. So we use delta delta minus 1 m square. And this tells us that the massless fields are dual to delta equal 1 operator, and the massive mass square equal 2 are dual to delta equal 2 operators. And matching dimensions and symmetries, you can see that this just matches the bosonic operators in the superdisplacement multiplet, as expected. So the S5 coordinates are dual to the scalars, and the ADS coordinates are dual to the displacement operator. Okay? So once we have identified these ADS2 fields with the operator insertions, we can just go ahead and use the usual techniques of ADS CFT. We can use the interactions between these fields to compute some Witten diagram, and the Witten diagram will tell us what is the correlation function on the Wilson line, okay? So this is basically the picture that you can keep in mind. So we have this, so for simplicity, I'm discussing the straight case because the formulas are simpler, but you can do everything in the circular case as well. So you have this ADS2 in Poincaré coordinates, you have some insertions of operators, which will be dual to some fields in this ADS2, and you can, leading order, you can compute some three-level diagrams, like a four-point interaction of this kind. So this boils down to the calculation of some Witten diagram in ADS2 of this kind. Okay? All right, so just some comments. These calculations, of course, are technically very similar to what we usually do in supergravity in ADS5 cross S5. We compute Witten diagram, but what we are computing is quite different. In the supergravity case, what you compute are correlation functions of single trace operators, like trace z to the j, which are dual to closed string states. And the coupling constant in those kind of calculations is 1 over n squared. It's the Newton constant. So you start from the supergravity action, you expand that, and compute the Witten diagram. In this case, we are doing technically similar calculations, but these calculations are done from the string worksheet action. And what we are computing are correlation functions of insertions inside the Wilson loop trace. So this is like the expectation value of a single trace operator. And these insertions correspond to fluctuations of the open string. So we're not in the closed string sector, we're in the open string sector. And the expansion parameter is not 1 over n squared, but it's 1 over root lambda, the string tension. That's the coupling constant in front of the action. And to leading order, here, n is just infinity. We work in the planar limit, and the expansion parameter is the Tuft coupling. Okay. Okay, so let me just summarize what you get, just to give you a flavor of the results that you get. So you can compute this, these correlation functions by just computing Witten diagrams. For example, this is what you get for the correlation function of four of the scalars, which are dual to the sphere coordinates. You can decompose the result in channels according to the SO5 representation, symmetric, traceless, anti-symmetric, and trace part. These are the functions, are just some non-trivial functions of cross ratio. You can use this and use the OPE expansion to extract information about the scaling dimensions of the operators that are contained in these four-point functions. I'm not going to go through this in detail. Let me just give you the result for the lowest unprotected operator in the singlet channel, which is basically a, you can think of this as a two-particle bound state of Y's. It's dimension that you can extract from this result if you work with this OPE expansion. Turns out to be 2 minus 5 over root lambda. The 2 is just the classical part, and this is what you get from this correction. Okay? So one can ask what is the weak coupling counterpart of this operator. So at weak coupling, if we ask what is the lowest dimension unprotected singlet, that is just the scalar which couples to the Wilson loop, phi 6. That scalars happen to be in a long multiplet. It's not protected. Its dimension was computed several years ago by Aldai and Maldacena and later by Polchinski and Sally using slightly different method. It's known that it's one, that's the three-level result, plus a correction of order lambda. It's natural to expect that if there is no level crossing, seems natural to expect that this kind of operator smoothly connects to the lowest unprotected singlet at strong coupling, which is this two-particle operator YY. Okay? So we expect that this should connect into this. And it's nice that the sign here is consistent with a possible smooth interpolation between 1 plus something and 2 minus something. We expect some kind of non-trivial function of lambda, which should go from 1 to 2. Of course, we don't know exactly what this is. We just know it here and here. But it may be possible to find this using integrability or maybe bootstrap techniques. That's one interesting question. Okay, so let me now just change topic a little bit and explain how to obtain exact results for an infinite class of operators in this defect CFT. So to do localization, we will consider more naturally the circular geometry. So correlation functions on the line and circle can be related to each other by conformal transformation. So the same information is contained in one or the other, but it's just more natural to talk about the circle when we talk about localization. Okay? This technical part is not too important. So remember that for the case of the circular Wilson loop, the expectation value is known exactly by localization, is given by a Gaussian matrix model. Just remind you here what the result is. It's given by in the planar limit by some Bessel function. To derive exact results for the defect correlators, actually, we will need to consider a slightly more general version of localization. For not just for the HVPS circular Wilson loop, but we'll need to consider a more general family of 1/8 BPS Wilson loops, which I constructed with Nadav Drucker, Riccardo Ricci, and Diego Trancanelli several years ago, like 12 years ago. So these Wilson loops are defined on generic contours on a two-sphere, and they inside R4 or S4, and they couple to three of the scalar fields. Let's call them phi1, phi2, and phi3. So the details are not too important, but the point is just that if you pick a two-sphere in your space-time, R4, say given by this Cartesian coordinate equation, then you can pick any curve on that sphere, and there is a way for a given curve to define an appropriate coupling to the scalar field, to three scalar fields, so that this operator preserves 1/8 of the supersymmetries. Okay? The HVPS circular Wilson loop is a special case of this construction. You can take this contour to be a great circle of the S2, and then you get the HVPS. But for general contour, you have this family of operators which preserves 1/8 of the supersymmetries. And we conjectured back then, and later was this conjecture was supported by a calculation by Peston, that the expectation value of this kind of operators is captured by two-dimensional Young-Mills Exactly. More precisely, it's a truncation of two-dimensional meals to the zero instant on second. Okay, so what that means in practice is that the expectation value can be computed exactly as a function of the area enclosed by the loop using the area diffeomorphism invariance of 2D mills. And the expectation value, then you can show that it's given by the same form as the HAPPS one with a rescaled coupling. So this lambda prime is just rescaled by the area of the Wilson loop. It just goes to lambda when you take a great circle. In general, you have this area dependence. Okay, so even more generally, you can consider in this localization setup not just any number of Wilson loops on the two-sphere, but also any number of a certain kind of local operators. You can insert these local operators anywhere on the sphere, either outside of the Wilson loop as some single trace operators, or inside the Wilson loop trace as defect operators. Okay, and the particular kind of operators that share some supercharges with the Wilson loops and can be described by this localization calculation have this form. So basically, these are like chiral primaries, but the particular chiral primary that you consider depends on the insertion point. Okay, so x1, x2, x3 here are just the coordinates on some point on the sphere, so they are constrained by this equation. So this kind of operator, you can see, it just takes the form of some familiar-looking chiral primary, where you can write it as y dot phi to the j, where y is some null vector. Okay, so the fact that it's position-dependent just means that we consider a different scalar depending on where we insert it. Okay, and if we do this, then all these operators share a supercharge with the Wilson loop. Okay, and it turns out that by localization calculation, this particular kind of operators are mapped to just insertions of the Hodge dual of the two-dimensional field strength. Okay. And one can show that one important property of correlation functions of this kind of operators is that they are position independent. They are completely position independent. Okay? So if we just now focus on the circular Wilson loop, it means that we can consider operators of this kind, where this null vector is just correlated with the position on the circle in this particular way. And then it follows that the arbitrary correlation functions of these insertions on the circular Wilson loop form a topological subsector, which is completely position independent, but it's still given by some non-trivial function of coupling constants. These are not protected in the sense that they are not non-renormalized. They still depend on the coupling in some non-trivial way. Okay. So one thing that we can do with this is that even though in this localization we have to consider these topological operators, two and three-point functions are just fixed exactly by conformal symmetry or arbitrary kind of chiral primary operator for any choice of this polarization or symmetry polarization vector. They are just fixed in terms of some constants. So if we know these two-point and three-point functions in the topological subsector, we can reconstruct the physical structure constants, for example, okay? For higher point function, you cannot reconstruct fully the physical higher point function, but this still gives you a constraint on the physical general correlation function, okay? So I think I'm a little bit running out of time, but so I'm just going to sketch how to compute the correlation functions of these operators, but basically you just use the relation to two-dimensional Young Mills. The one thing that you can see is that since these are dual to insertion of the field strength, and then you know that insertion of field strength is related to the formation of the loop, and you know that in two-dimensional Young Mills, the only thing that matters is how the area change. So you can essentially see that the insertion of any number of these operators can be obtained by taking area derivatives of the Wilson loop expectation value. For example, this gives a quick way to recover the exact results for the Bremsstrahlung function that I was showing before. That's just given by the two-point function of these operators. You just take two derivatives with respect to area of the Wilson loop expectation value. That just gives you this ratio of Bessel functions. Okay, you can do the same for four-point function. You get an explicit exact result like this. This can be expanded at large lambda, and you can show that precisely matches the string calculation that I showed before. Okay. Okay, so in general, one want also to construct the more general composite operators, which are powers of this inserted at the point. To do this, you have to understand how to define the properly normal ordered operators. So I'm not going to go through the construction in detail because I don't have time. But essentially, the upshot is that it can be done systematically using Gram-Schmidt orthogonalization, starting with naive products of these fields and doing an orthogonalization procedure that gives you the normal ordered operator in terms of some determinants. So this is a determinant, and these are just the derivatives of Wilson loop. You can use this to get very explicit results for any correlators in this topological subsector. So just to show you that they are explicit, this is, for example, what you get for general two-point functions, for general three-point functions. And so let me skip through this because I don't have much time. So the general structure of the correlators is, and the planar limit is like this. You have some kind of contour integral and the product of polynomials. These polynomials are some non-trivial object which depends on coupling. They interpolate between Chebyshev and Hermite polynomials. But you can expand them at weak and strong coupling and match all the available results. So in particular, you can match it on the string theory side by computing correlation functions now of composites of string coordinates. So you take products of the string fluctuations, bring them to the boundary, and compute some more general Witten diagrams of this kind. And you can show that all this matches exactly these results from localization if you expand them in strong coupling. Okay, let me, don't have time for this. You can ask me later, because I think I only have 10 minutes or? Yeah, 8, okay. So let me now, in the last part of the talk, change topic again a little bit and talk about the non-supersymmetric Wilson loop. Okay, so of course, in any gauge theory, it's natural to consider non-supersymmetric Wilson loop operator, just the ordinary one. In n equal 4 superior mills, because there is no running of the coupling, you can show that for smooth contours, there are no logarithmic divergences in these operators. The expectation value up to power-like divergence that you can remove is finite. So when you take the contour to be a line or a circle, this operator, again, will preserve an SL2R subgroup of the conformal symmetry. And so correlation function of insertions on this kind of operator will define another defect CFD, a non-supersymmetric one with a different symmetry group, which will be SL2R cross SO3 cross SO6 now, because this does not couple to any scalars, so there is an SO6 invariance. Okay? But there is no supersymmetry. Okay, it's useful to consider a more general kind of operator to get some results about RG flows on the defect. And the more general operators that was introduced by Polchinski and Sally in 2011 is this one. So you just take a generalized Wilson loop with some coupling here, which is arbitrary, some parameter here, which multiplies phi 6. So zeta equals 0 is the ordinary one, and zeta equal 1 is the supersymmetric one. Okay, now if you have this coupling and you compute the expectation value of this, you find some logarithmic divergences, and this coupling acquires a beta function. So you can compute this perturbatively. The beta function is to leading order in lambda, and exact in zeta is given by this. Okay, so you can see that there are two fixed points. Zeta equals 0 is the ordinary Wilson loop, and zeta equals 1 or minus 1 is the RPPS Wilson loop. Okay? You can compute the dimension of this perturbing operator in the UV and in the IR. You can see that in the UV, so 0 means zeta equals 0. In the UV is 1 minus something. You can compute this from the derivatives of the beta function at the fixed point, or directly in perturbation theory. 1 minus something, and in the IR is 1 plus something. So you can view this flow. So since this operator is slightly relevant in the one-dimensional sense, you can view this as a RG flow on the defect, which is triggered by this coupling zeta, and it triggers a flow between the fixed point at zeta equals 0, the UV, and zeta equals 1 in the IR. So we have an RG flow between the non-supersymmetric Wilson loop in the UV to the supersymmetric Wilson loop in the IR, okay? And it's natural to expect that the analog of the free energy for this defect CFT is just related to the expectation value of the Wilson loop. So if you define f to be log of the expectation value of the Wilson loop, it's natural to expect that this will play the role of, of the defect-free energy for this d equal 1 defect, and it should satisfy this fuv is greater than fir. Okay? So this is actually agrees with a general conjecture for general dimension defects that was made in this paper by Nishioka and collaborators, and I think Tatsuma will talk about this more in his talk, so I'm not going to spend too much time on the general conjecture and just make a test of this expectation, okay, using this Wilson loop operators. Okay? So one can compute the expectation value of this Wilson loop explicitly in perturbation theory as a function of this coupling zeta is given by this. You can see from this expression that indeed it, this F theorem expectation is satisfied. The log of the expectation value at zeta equals zero is greater than the one at zeta equals one, because this is just an extra positive contribution. So at weak coupling it works. You can also see that it works as strong coupling. A strong coupling, as I will explain in a second, you can show that, so this, for the supersymmetric one, you just know the exact result from the Bessel function. If you expand the Bessel function, the strong coupling, it goes like this, e to the root lambda times the power of lambda, which is minus, minus 3/4. For the supersymmetric one, you can argue that the behavior instead has to be this, okay? And then the log of this, again, is larger than the log of this. So both at weak and strong coupling, we get a test of this F theorem and the defect. So let me try to explain, at least in the remaining time, why you get this power. So what is the description of on the string side of this ordinary Wilson loop? This maybe is not as well known as the usual one, but it's a natural proposal that was made by Aldai and Maldacena in 2007, also independently later by Polchinski and Sully, who apparently were not originally aware of that paper. But so the idea is very simple. So when we compute the usual Maldacena-Wilson loop with coupling to the scalars, what we do is solve the string-Worschitt equation for the minimal surface with Dirichlet boundary conditions on the sphere direction. Dirichlet because we want the coordinates to be fixed at some value which corresponds to the scalar couplings of the operator in the gauge theory. Now, if you don't have any scalar coupling there, it's natural to assume instead that you have to impose Neumann boundary conditions instead of Dirichlet on the sphere direction, okay? So if you use this prescription for the circular or straight Wilson loop, okay, classically you still get that the Worschitt is an ADS2 geometry. The difference is that with Neumann boundary condition, you don't fix a point on the five sphere, but you have to integrate over a zero mode, which is the position on the five sphere. Okay? So more precisely, five zero modes, because you have five coordinates on the five sphere. So there are five additional zero modes in the Neumann case compared to the Dirichlet. And if you just recall how zero mode is supposed to contribute as a power of coupling to the partition function, that explains the difference in power between this and this. Okay? So there are five extra zero modes, which gives an extra factor of lambda to the 5/4 here compared to here. Okay, so that's where it comes from. Okay, I think I don't have much time. Let me just say that you can go ahead and use these Neumann boundary conditions to also compute correlation functions on this non-supersymmetric defect. It's much more complicated because the Neumann boundary conditions, well, for one thing, they have logarithmic propagators, and also you have to integrate over the zero mode. So let me not go through this in detail. I can, you know, sketch the result. It, as you can see, it's much more complicated. You get a more complicated structure. If you want to see the details, it's in this recent paper with Arcadi and Matteo Beccaria. So since I think I'm running out of time, let me just go to the conclusion then. So to summarize, the correlation function on the straight or circular Wilson loop of operator insertions on this kind of operators have the structure of a d equal one conformal system, leading on the defect. It's an interesting one-dimensional conformal system of correlators, which has a lot of symmetry, but is still very non-trivial. And it may be an interesting example where we could try to maybe exactly solve it or make some progress in understanding how to, in general, solve CFTs. So as I showed the correlator of operator insertions on this Wilson loop, at strong coupling can be computed from ADS2, where the ADS2 is the open string worksheet. One natural question that I didn't mention before is whether there is any sense in which the integrability of the n equal 4 superior mils or of the string sigma model reflects itself in this ADS amplitudes. So here we're not computing an S matrix, we are computing some kind of S matrix in ADS, in ADS2. It's a natural question to ask whether there is any manifestation of integrability in this kind of amplitudes. Maybe there is an analog of S matrix factorization. Maybe Mellin space would be a natural language to answer this question. Okay, so I also showed briefly that for the half EPS Wilson loop, we can get many exact results in a topological subsector of operator insertions. And so perhaps, as I was mentioning, this is interesting, very non-trivial, but still highly constrained system where we may try to combine information from localization, integrability, and perhaps bootstrap techniques. There are several recent developments in bootstrap for one-dimensional systems that could be useful. And combining all this information, one may hope to make progress towards a solution of this kind of defect CFT. Then I also explain how the non-supersymmetric Wilson loop in n equal 4 also define an interesting defect CFT, which is non-supersymmetric, and it gives us an example of a defect RG flow where we can test a version of F theorem and defect. Here we, of course, don't have localization, but we can still imagine that integrability should still be present. The n equal 4 gauge theory is integrable. It may be that integrability techniques also apply to this non-supersymmetric operator. And there is a recent work by Correa and collaborators that showed that integrability for this non-supersymmetric defect CFT is indeed there at the one loop order at weak coupling. It's a natural question whether this persists and whether this may be used even at strong coupling. OK, I think I'm out of time. Let me just put this slide with some future direction here and ask if you have any questions.
OK, thank you, Simone. Are there any questions?
OK, I have a question about your loop result for the WZ Wilson loop.
Yes.
OK, it is finite up to two loops. Okay, yeah. Oops. Though the Wilson loop is probably not PPS, right?
Yes.
So do you expect finding some divergences going up in orders, or there is some reason?
Yes, that with divergences that have to be absorbed by renormalization of this coupling. This is precisely.
This is already renormalized.
Yes, so there will be divergences, and that those will determine the beta function. This is written in terms of the renormalized coupling already.
Yeah, so when you define the topological operators on the defect, yeah, you did it for the maximal circle, right? For the 1/2 BPS case.
Yes. You can do it for the general 1/8 BPS case. But in those cases, there is no defect CFT interpretation, but you still have some topological system of correlators for insertions on the arbitrary shape of Wilson loop. It's just some position-dependent, independent correlators that you can define for any contour. For the circular one, it happens that then it's related to some data for the defect CFT.
Other questions?
Okay, so I understand your localization technique allow you to calculate correlators of operators inserted on defect, but can you also calculate operators well?
Yes, so that's a slide
you
that
said
I skipped.
You could, but can
so
you?
Since you ask, here is a slide. So you can also consider a correlation function of mixed type with insertions on the defect and insertions away from the defect. So one example is this. So take some bulk bulk, I mean, away from the defect. So some single trace operator inserted at the boundary, and one or more defect operators, say. So you can consider this kind of correlation function. At strong coupling is given by this kind of mixed open closed string amplitude. You have some open string fluctuations dual to this insertion, and then you have some closed string vertex operator here, a bulk to boundary propagator in ADS, which goes to this insertion point of the single trace operator. So you can compute this as strong coupling. Now you can also do this exactly from localization for this class of operators that I introduced.
Yeah.
So that's in this paper with Shota Komatsu from last year. This is just a form of the result. For a general correlator with one or more of these local operators and as many as you want of defect operators, you get an exact result, which again is a form, as the form of an integral, some insertion of polynomials, which correspond to these defect operators, and some insertion of an object which intuitively plays the role of this vertex operator here on the string side.
But what if your operator is entirely bulk, like by 1.1?
Will be always?
If the operator is entirely a bulk operator, and
yeah,
a mixed operator, can you also say?
Yeah, that, you mean without any defect operator?
Yeah,
yeah, that was known before. That's just a one-point function in the presence of Wilson loop that was in this kind of, you know, it was computed by Zarembo and Semenov years ago. You can get it from localization, say, from a two-matrix model of, So what we did is generalize that for any class, any number of defect operators and any number of bulk operators. You can do that, yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, so maybe since I was a little curious about your RG flow. So when you go from UV to IR, do I understand that the IR theory is completely stable in the sense that it doesn't have any relevant deformation itself?
Yeah, I think that's true.
So you expect it to be the lowest F Wilson defect CFD that you find in this theory?
I think that's true. I don't see any relevant operator in the supersymmetric defect here.
All right. So if there are no other questions, thanks, Simone, again.